Holding a kuftes on a base, starting from Rashi right after the Mishnah. So where it says that what shot in the rabbanon shapar kamar adman. So again, the case was a person went to Medinas Hayam, and we have a question. He has a field which is surrounded by other fields, and he has had the financial rights to access. And access to his field. Now the question is, which field is it which surrounds his field, which has that access? So the Adman says he gets some rights to some type of access. I'm going to say that he has to buy it off of him. So where's the Shabbat Kamar Adman? Right now, the assumption, the more question is, there's one person who owns all of the surrounding fields. So then, the there's no question that this right to access is one of those fields which all belong to the same individual. He owes him. He owes the inner individual the rights to access. He has to give him something. So more as to the case was that there was four people surrounding it. There's four people. Each one of the four can push him off and say, your right to access is not by me. So Mora says, so then the chum makes sense. What is Adam arguing in that situation? Okay. So Mora says, so if the case is if right now there are four individuals, whether the four individuals were the original four individuals, new four individuals, or even if the four Arba also means Kachad. So there was one person who owned all four fields, and now four different people have bought the fields off of him. And these four individuals bought the surrounding fields from the one individual who owned the fields originally. After the owner of the inner field had left, so there's no question that situation that the Chachamim. Everybody agrees that in that situation he can't get a field unless he buys it. He can't get a derech unless he buys it. Where is the situation that we're discussing? Is one who came from four. So Adman says that there was one field which I had access. You now own all four fields, and give me back my access. And the Chum say, Ishaskas, Shaskas, if you keep quiet, and I'll give you a discount. If you don't give me a hard time, I'll give you a discount. And if not, if you give me a hard time, I will give back the, as it were, the rights to the fields, to the four original owners, and you'll have nothing. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara, we're holding about 10 lines up. Okay. Person, before he died, said that there's going to be one tree which goes to the daughter. Okay. Until he asked me, plug the nixi. So the sons went, divided up the properties. They didn't give her the dekel. So now she has to deal with multiple sons, all which own a dekel. And she's going to come and say, give me my dekel. So Reuven is going to say, I don't have your dekel. Go to Shimon. Shimon is going to say, go to Levi. So, some Rav Yosef Lemaimer, Hanamasisim, Rav Yosef wanted to say, he thought to say that that would be, that the our Mishnah would be a good example of that idea. The Chachamim said that she basically would have no rights. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya says no. That Hasam Kolchad Bechad Motzi Matchilei. You're looking at it from a practical sense. It's a person making a claim against multiple people, right? Do we look at them as individual or not? So, well, why should you look at them as one unit? Well, that's not true. Over there, the derech was only in one field. The question is, which field was it? The other three fields have no shibud at all vis-a-vis a derech. Over here, there was a shibud in all the property that they must give her a dekel. And the fact that they divided it with that lien on all of the properties. All three properties of the three brothers all have a lien on them. They must, somewhere amongst their properties, provide her with X. In the case of the derech, if the derech is in the north field, it's upset. Well, the west field has a responsibility to make sure the north field gives the derech. The west field has nothing to do with it at all. There is nothing at all on any claim in any one of the fields except for the field which had the derech in it. We have a practical problem. We don't know which field it is. So it looks like the issue is four fields. The issue isn't four fields. The issue is one field. Over here, the issue is all three fields, all the brothers. They collectively have a shibud to provide her a dekel. Hasam kolchad v'chad motzi matzilei. Any one of the three, any one of the four fields, can push him up and say, "I have no shibud at all." Halcha dikul gabayuhu. But her dekel is by the brothers. She has a claim on all of the brothers.
Or could you say that any of the brothers' dekel would work? Any of the brothers' solution would work, by the way.
Yes,
all be guilty. I mean, they're all.
That's true. I think that is a true point. But the same, that's just indicative of the fact that because it means that the responsibility is in all of them collectively. So how do we deal with this? So they're going to have to give her a dekel. And then now we have, if we take the dekel away, one of the brothers, so it comes out that he did not receive a fair portion, so they're going to have to redo the division of the properties. So Krashi, Kolchad v'chad motzi matzilei. Shamizuch armer loy b'tzofen, derech shocha. The person on the east will say, your path is on the north side. And you have no claim on me at all. The time when the father gave this directive, all the properties were one. So the responsibility was on all of the property together. He did not say that it should be a dekel from what it is. So there's a collective responsibility in all the properties which they have to make sure that she gets a dekel. So that's what they have to do.
So this is matana, right?
It was a matana of the father to her. But, well, as far as they're concerned, now it's a shibu.
Yeah, right. But there isn't a yerusha, the daughter.
Correct. Okay. So the Gemara, who darma lahu, another case where the father said dikla lebras, he said to the brothers that the a dekel should be given to the daughter. Shachiv, now he died, and Shavik tre palgi the dikla, he owned a partnership in two palm trees. So he had many trees, But besides the many shares which he owns individually, he also owns two trees as a partnership. So the brothers came up with this great idea. Instead of giving her one of the dekel trees, which the father owns by himself, let her take over the ownership of the shutzvis and those two trees. That's equivalent to one tree. So Yosef Rav Ashi, we call Kashalei. Rav Ashi was sitting and considering the possibility. Mikari Inchi the Trey Palgi Dikla Eloi. Can we say that the person refers to two half decals as one decal? And therefore, included in the father's matana to the daughter of a decal, two halves would work? Or not? That's not what a person means when he says one decal, and therefore that's not what the father meant. So this would not be a fulfillment of the father's command. So he was not sure. Amar Leh Rav Mordechai l'Rav Ashi. So Rav Mordechai told Rav Ashi, Halchi Amar Avimi mehagronya mishmei derova, kari inche the trepalgi dikla. This would be a valid fulfillment of the father's savoah. People do talk like that. When he said give a decal, giving two halves, it would be a valid fulfillment of that. That's how people. We can assume that would be included in what he meant in his command. It's like Rashi, four lines on the bottom. Shavak trade palgadikla. Shoyalu b'shutivis. He owned as a shutiv two halves, two trees that he owned b'shutivis with somebody else. But Charda kolam harbi hoyalu. He had many other trees which he was the only owner.
Is a half a tree? Maybe two halves are better than a whole. Not less than a whole. The whole tree dies. I mean, she's still got a half a tree. I mean, that maybe two halves is better.
Okay. V'sarmim ha'yu noisin lo oisin shnei chatzoyin sh'yesh tarach ben yoisir. So the Yisarmim would prefer to give her those two halves because that's two trees that they have to take care of as opposed to one tree. So they want to give it to her. The question is this the fulfillment of the language of the father? So Kari Inshi, people do refer to that as and therefore Makarka Yodala Tatana. So they can force her to accept it. She says, I don't want that. I'd rather have one tree which is less tircha to work on. But they can force her to take it. Because they're the muxik. She's coming with the tzavua that there is an obligation to fulfill the tzavua of the father. So she's coming with a form of a claim. But they're the muksiks. They say, listen, we are going to pay you off on your claim with these two half trees. Since that's a valid fulfillment of the language of the father, she's forced to accept that. Okay. Is that the Mishnah?
I mean, this is implying that it's worse.
No, I think the opposite. I think it implies that it's better because otherwise he'd have told him, no, you're going to get one tree. You're going to get that tree, this tree, one tree.
No, but Rashi is saying it's Yodol Tachtona, which makes it sound like she's actually getting
something better.
Something worse.
I don't know. Why is that worse?
Because there's more tircha involved. You have one tree, okay. Produces X amount of fruit, so you deal with the tree and you're done. Or you have to deal with two trees.
You're only talking the positive, but on the negative side, if the tree dies, she's got nothing.
That's true, but the point of the Gemara is that they can force her to accept this because she's considering it as inferior, not superior. So they are also considering it inferior, and they can force it upon her whether she likes it or not.
But why is the Kawach HaTzava, how is that different than if it would have been... I don't know, like a star matana or something like that. I mean, Rashi sounds like he might be saying, look, this Tzava is sort of a lower level than other forms of, Matana.
No. See, if the father would give Matana Bechayov, right, even if that would be the situation, so the father's alive, and now the fellow comes, you wrote a Matana that I should get X. Give me X. He says, okay, prove what I meant. Right? Leaving out the assignment, right? He'd still be the father would be the muhsik, and the Baal Matana is the Moitzi. He said, well, I meant the inferior one, he couldn't collect more than that. So the same thing's happening over here. The Yershim step up to be the makam of the father. So it automatically goes into the Rishus of the Yershim. So the Yershim are the Muzakim, and she's coming to be Moitzi from them, like any case of Baal Matana coming to be Moitzi. Okay. Okay. How much is Sharkai Bal Chavera? So Reuben comes to Shimon that you owe me $1,000. Okay, but Halah Haji Shemar Khala Sasada. And Shimon turns around and says, it can't be true that I owed you money, because here's a shtar that you sold me a field for $1,000. So instead of collecting this supposed chob of $1,000, you took my $1,000 and sold me a field for it. If it would be true that I owed you money, why would you sell me something for $1,000? Just take your $1,000, get it for free. So obviously, that this shtar that you're talking about is either it's a forgery, or it's been paid up, and and you found it, whatever it is. And I don't owe you anything, because if I really owed you something, you would just take your money instead of giving me some type of compensation for that money. It's your money. That's the argument. So Amin Amar Yochel Hushi Yarmer. So Amin says that's a good argument. Ilu Ha'isa Ha'isi Chayv Lecha. So the supposed Lova can say back to the supposed Malva, if it would be true that I owed you money, Ha'yu Lecha Lihipara Eshecha Kishamachar Tali Yisasada. Instead of selling me a field, just collect your money. So this is considered a valid argument. We have a shtar in front of us. This is a valid argument against the shtar, that the shtar has to be something wrong with the shtar, and he cannot collect. According to Amin, the supposed malva cannot collect with that shtar. Chavim say no, but that's not true. Actually, there's an argument why he would be willing to sell the field and not collect his money at the time. The Malva argued that the loan wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to collect the loan for whatever reason. But I was concerned that you might take steps to squirrel away and hide your items that you have to collect from. So instead of allowing you to do that, I maneuvered you into a situation where you have a piece of property which I can take for payment. If there's any problem, so I haven't lost. I haven't lost anything. As a matter of fact, I've gained something. The field I sold you, I got paid for. So, and now, if there's any problem with the loan, I'll just take the field back. So I end up with $1,000 plus the field. So I've just guaranteed, and if you pay back the loan, fine. So I'd be able to sell the field, get the money, plus getting my money back. So I've gained a business. I have some type of a maneuver which I've gained benefit over here. So there's no proof for the fact that I sold you the field that there wasn't a loan. Okay, so the Mor is going to flesh out the case a little bit. Let's see Rashi. Haloi b'haytzi shemach haloi, is it Rashi? Sada. Haloi b'haytzi haloi b'shtar mechira. Mucher is the shtar hava. Haloi produces a document of a sale which is dated later than the time of this loan. The loiber says to the malva that this shtar has to be either forgery or paid off. Because had it been true that I owed you the money, you wouldn't sell me the field. Rather, just collect your debt. So the Chacham says, he was a smart person. The Malva was concerned that the Loiva would send away his metaltalin, put into a Swiss bank account. In other words, he would move it out of access. And therefore the Malva would have nowhere to take a mashkin al chayvay. Now mashkin means at the time of the loan is due, he would have nothing to take impound as at that point in time for the chayv. But now, by selling him the field, he has what to take. He can take the field. We tend to think of the word mashkin as referring to the time collateral, which is one usage of the word mashkin. The primary usage of the word mashkin in the Gemara actually is not as a collateral; it's a form of impounding something at the time when the payment is due, to guarantee that either the person will redeem it or he'll use that as payment. So it's when he comes to collect, he'll have where to collect from. So at the Gemara, my time with the Rabbanon, we still have difficulty understanding the Rabbanon. Shabbar Kamar Admin, it seems to be right. If the loan was a loan which was the date was such that it was due, like, why guarantee you where to collect from? Just collect. Just take the money. It works like this. That the Yoivi Zuzi, Vahadar Kasi Shtora, in a case where when it comes to sales, do they complete the transaction, the person pays the money, and then they document it? Because this there are two types of shtoras. We spoke about this somewhere in the last 5 years. I don't remember when. Two types of shtoras. There's a shtar kinyan and a shtar raya. A shtar kinyan, for example, would be a get. Right. The shtar is the vehicle. It's the instrument which effects the gerusha. It's not a proof that there was a divorce. This is the instrument which generates the divorce. So you can have a shtar kinyan by a field. There's three ways to become a karka. You can become a karka by paying for it. You can become a karka by doing some type of even the person has not paid a cent, but he does an action called a chazaka, he's kind of the karka. You can become a karka through a shtar kinyan. Shtar kinyan is actually written by the moicher. And it says in the shtar, it says sadai mechur lecha, and the moicher writes, my field is sold to you, or shtar matano, he writes, my field is given to you, and he gives the document to the purchaser or the recipient, and now it's his. That's a shtar kinyan. You could also have a shtar raya, which the purpose is. So that's all. It says it at five. It says it at these few words. Sarai makor lecha. Three words. That's all you need. Right. So they might write what it is, etc. But even they didn't write what it is. Now that's a horrible proof. It doesn't say his name in the bottom of it. He just gives it in front of Aiden. We hold it. It's a valid Shark Kinyan. Its purpose is not to prove. The goal of this piece of paper is not to prove anything. It is a vehicle of transaction. The same way a get is not to prove anything. The purpose of the get is not to prove that she's divorced. It's to create the divorce. This creates the transaction. It doesn't prove anything. I can't prove anything with it because we know which we're referring to. Aiden saw it. Later on, he says, "You know, I where's my get off my field?" He says, "I mean, I bought it." He says, "What's the proof?" Three words. Doesn't prove anything. Who said it's about this field? Who said it was true? Who's maybe you're for it? There's no proof in that piece of paper. That's irrelevant. That wasn't its purpose. Its purpose was to generate the Kenyan. You could also, if you want to, you can write up in such a way that could act as a proof as well. Or you could transact it with money and then write a documentation to prove it. That's called a shtar raya. It's something to do with the kinyan. The kinyan is with the money. So the discussion over here is what we're talking about over here, a shtar raya. That, so when will they write up this shtar raya? When will they give over the shtar raya? Will they give it over after the money is given or not? So Basra the Yoibi Zuzi Bahadur Kasvi Shtara. In a community where the standard practice is that first he would pay for the field and then they would give him the shtar. So then Adman is like, you know, like you have a chayv, supposedly. The fellow gave you money and then you're going to give him a shtar that you sell him a field. Just keep the money. You have your pay. You got your money back. Like, why would you continue with this game? Right? So obviously, if you did, must be there was never a loan, or the loan was paid off. Because why would anybody do this? So that's the Kuli Alma over there. Lo pligi the motzer malei hayachali fresh shalchah kishemakarta liyisasod. That the loiva can say to the supposed loiva can say to the supposed malva, if it's true that I owed you money, I owed you money. I gave you the money, and then you're going to write me a document that they give me to feel like now you're going to write it. Just keep your money and say ha ha ha. That's what anybody with seichel would have done. So that must be that that's not true. That I owed you money. Kipligi, where's the discussion? That the purchaser says, I'm not giving money until you give me the documentation that I got the field. So here we are, we have the shtar written up. Okay. And the shtar is ready to go. And then we say, okay, now I'll give you the money. So the chachamim say that Adman argues that, you know, well, just grab the money and run. It doesn't work like that because, you know, the guy's smart enough to cop that you might just grab the money and run, and that's why he's not letting you take his money until he has documentation. So the only way you're going to get the money is through documentation. So the fact that I wrote documentation doesn't prove anything. It just proves that you weren't able to get the money otherwise. So what's Adman's argument then? It's the Chomer right. Because there's something known in Allah as a Moedah. What's a Moedah? Moedah is that when I do a transaction with somebody, which I don't want to do, but circumstances force me to do so, so I'm able to go to two Edim beforehand and explain the circumstances, why I'm doing this. So the Morris says that in the case, the Morris is in a common case of Madaw, a person's doing something under duress. But he realizes that the duress is real. But he doesn't want to do it. So he's being forced to sell the property. The strong-armed tactics are forcing him to sell the property. He doesn't want to really sell the property, but fighting with these people is not the healthiest thing in the world. So he can take two Adam before and say, listen, tomorrow I'm going to be doing this transaction, selling this field. I don't mean it. Right? But I have to and explain to him why. And they see that what he's arguing makes sense. So the Adam can now, later on, when he feels he has the ability to go and safely retrieve his property, he brings the Adam to Bezdin. And it says that this sale wasn't true. So that's called a Mudor. He's informing them. So Adman argues, you're saying that, listen, what you're saying is that the loiva was a hard guy, and the only way that you're able to get the money back from the loiva was by going through this subterfuge of selling them a piece of property. I mean, I have a document that I bought the property. So, LMI, what you should have done is, you're arguing, yeah, but the lawyer was a hard guy, he was going to be difficult, they didn't have a good proof that my star was, I'm afraid the star would be challenged. So I figured, I'll go through the subterfuge. Why didn't you tell anybody about it before? Where's your item that this wasn't, that wasn't a real transaction? Bring me your item that there was in my door. So, if you're avoiding those mitzvahs, it means that the transaction was real. The transaction was real. Why'd you do this? Right? If you weren't moiser mitzvah, it means you were really willing to sell the field to me. Must be that it wasn't alone. Otherwise, if you had been truly alone, and you're doing this as a subterfuge, you would have been moiser, you would have made a mitzvah. So, the lawyer wins. Run in Savri that the Malva could argue Chavra Islay, but Chavra the Chavra Islay. There is a danger of doing a Midah because he can get out. Because you told it to wait him, and the Tuadim will tell somebody else, etc. So if it's true that the Malva felt. Amal was arguing that he had a need to do the subterfuge to get the loiva, maneuver the loiva. He was scared to make a madoa because it might undermine the subterfuge because someone will find out about it now. And eventually he'll get back to the loiva and the loiva will back out of the deal. So he argues the fact that there's no madoa doesn't prove anything. It just proves that I was being concerned that my plan wouldn't work. That's why it wasn't Moser Mado. The standard procedure in that area was that the purchaser would give the money and then you would give over the documentation. So everybody agrees. So the merchant would then say to the loiva, you know, you owe me money. You just gave me the money for the chayv. You know what? I'll keep the money for the chayv. You want to buy the field? Pay me some more money. Well, you tell the ashtar and the marker is one of the advantages. I'm not going to give you the star under these circumstances. Since he did give him the star, it must be there's no chayv anymore. Okay. So the Moor says that Adman argues the Mimsim Mudha. The only reason why I'm willing to do this process of selling it to him is as a way to use it as a form to get the money out of him now and then go to Bezdin with the star and get my karka back. They will tell the Lokeach. So that he won't buy the field. If that's the plan of the mouth. Okay. Fine. So the Mishnah. Shnayim shahitziyu shtar chayv zeal zeh. The two people bring out a shtar chayv. Each one has a shtar chayv against the other one. Reuben has a shtar chayv that he lent Shimon money. Shimon has a shtar chayv that he lent Reuben money. Alman oimer, ilo hayisi chayv l'cho keset at alov imimeni. So, similar type of argument. If that's true that I owed you money, why would you take a loan from me? So if we have a valid shtar chayiv that I lent you money, that indicates that I didn't owe you money, because if I owed you money, you're just taking this payment and not as a loan. No, each shtar chayiv is valid. Reuben al Shimon, Shimon al Reuben. Reuben has a claim against Shimon, Shimon has a claim against Reuben. And star shayti, Reuben is muktam, Mishal Shimon mukher. One star is an earlier date, and one is a later date. So Reuben is coming that, you know, I lent you $10,000 on January 1st. And Shimon is saying, well, I have a shah that I lent you $10,000 on February 1st. Now, if I owed you $10,000, but as of January 1st, why would you borrow from me $10,000 in February? Just take your money back. I'm going to remember, Yochel Shimon Larmer LeRuven. Shimon tells Reuven, Ilu Chai Wa Yisi L'Chai, if it was true that I owed you money, like your star is saying, out the love of me many, how would you borrow money from me later? Just collect your chayv. It must be that your star is a forgery, or it's paid up. And so I paid up that chayv, and now this is a transaction, you owe me money. I feel like chayv shav, even though the loans are the same value. So Rashi says above and beyond the issue of validity. Why don't we have an issue, a practical issue of why each one collected? Let the two transactions cancel each other out. Reuben owes him $1,000. He owes him $1,000. So he keeps his $1,000. He keeps his $1,000. Why are they collecting? Even if the loans are equal, in Aram Yaakov said Milva Shachaver B'Shul Milva Shavoh. We don't say he will keep the money that he owes as a payment for the money which is due to him. Each one has a right to collect their chayv. So Bezin will make him pay this chayv and then make him pay that chayv if that's what they want to do. Okay. And so that more brings the discussion, like, why would they do that? So that doesn't address the issue of how do you answer Adman's argument. Adman's argument is that there's some indication over here of some lack of validity to the shtar, to the first shtar, because why would there be a second shtar after the first shtar? Rashi is not addressing that. Rashi is saying, okay, you argue that both shtars are valid, but practically, why would we do this? In regards to the validity issue, you have to understand what the point of the Chachamim. What's interesting is that the Gemara doesn't address that first. The Gemara addresses first the practical issue. Later on, the Gemara says, okay, but why isn't Adman right? That why would a person do this? So that's the second point that the Gemara deals with. What? The validity issue, correct. The Gemara addresses that second. The Gemara addresses the practical issue and the Chachamim first, and the Gemara goes back and addresses the issue of, like, why isn't Adman right? Okay, let's hold it here.